Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
As more and more of our everyday tasks and economic activities move online, high-speed internet, often called broadband, is no longer a luxury, it's a necessity. At least that's what the Central Appalachia Regional Network, or CARN, is saying. They're a coalition of organizations that promote policy and action to improve the quality of life available to the people of Central Appalachia. Right now, much of this rural region does not have access to high-speed internet because of problems with infrastructure, accessibility, and affordability. And many members of CARN are worried that the economic gap in Central Appalachia is worsened by this lack of access to broadband. In early June this year, CARN hosted the West Virginia Broadband Summit in Charleston to address the three main questions in terms of broadband access in West Virginia. Where are we? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? Reverend James Patterson leads the Partnership of African American Churches and also chairs the CARN Broadband Policy Group. Here he is at the summit.
Those of us in this room have to do something intentionally to make sure this and other communities like it are included. We might have to change an FCC policy. We might have to embrace a community-owned, publicly funded broadband network. We might have to shake a whole bunch of trees. We might have to upset a few folks. But we have to do it if indeed intentional inclusion is going to occur.
CARN has recently put forth a series of broadband policy recommendations for all six of the states they serve, Kentucky, Maryland, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. These are very thorough recommendations that look at the existing legislation of each state and also suggest new policies that will help states provide universal broadband. Paul Miller from the West Virginia Center for Budget and Policy played a key role in coming up with the CARN recommendations. He scoured through decades of legislative proposals, analyzing the ones that have passed as well as the ones that didn't.
There were a lot of good policies that were not adopted by the legislature, but we think would support the overall mission of the CARN network. And so a second report, which was just completed, basically looked at the various policies that had been introduced, either policies that had a state had particularly adopted, but the other states had not, and likewise policies that were not adopted, but I think would be relevant to the CARN network.
The policy proposals can basically be summed up in four main recommendations. Already, four of the six CARN states, except for Maryland and Ohio, have accomplished the first recommendation, which is to institutionalize broadband priorities in state government. The second recommendation is to provide state funding for broadband investments like pilot programs and research to help with infrastructure and broadband outreach. Paul Miller again.
Broadband is a special policy. In effect, it becomes so integral to our lives because we rely on it for education, for civic duties, for economic reasons, for health reasons. It becomes so important that it's just as important as a public utility. And so we think that it should be treated as such, that it should be regulated and protected for consumers. So the third recommendation was to ultimately move the regulation of broadband and to a public agency like the Public Service Commission. And hopefully through that process, we could generate, for example, a consumer bill of rights that would protect consumers if they're not getting what they're paying for. So if they pay for a certain speed and they're not getting that, then that's a legitimate complaint that they could take to the PSC.
The fourth recommendation involves creating digital literacy programs and education initiatives to help improve take-up rates, or how many people actually use broadband internet and utilize its full economic potential. This is where some critics are shaking their heads. Why should the government subsidize or flat out pay for broadband in rural areas if people aren't even going to use it once they have it? Reverend Patterson.
And it might be because people are so concerned about this recession that we've just gone through the difficulty in making a basic living, that folks are not yet focused on the value of internet and what it's going to mean as life moves on in the 21st century. So I think that too has to be a function of the public, and that is to make the people aware of the importance and the critical value of broadband so that as we move forward, they will want to be a part of this whole process.
But the fact of the matter still remains. If broadband internet is a necessity in rural Appalachia, somebody still has to pay for it. Paul Miller.
It is a problem for rural areas because broadband is basically a service that telecommunication companies are engaged in for the purpose of making money, and we can never ignore that fact. I mean, this is an issue about making money, earning a profit.
The West Virginia Symposium included a presentation on a city-owned broadband network in Phillippi, West Virginia, as an example of an alternative when for-profit businesses won't provide service. It's estimated that 25% of all job applications are now taken online. And although none of us can predict the future of the internet, we do know that it will continue to play an important role in our lives. Internet advocates worry that if Central Appalachia misses out on this digital revolution, it will have irreversible effects for future generations.
I mean, it's a lifestyle issue, it's an economic development issue, it's a health issue, it's a civic duty issue. So all of the benefits that arrive and accrue to citizens who have access to high-speed, universal, and affordable broadband, well, you got to have that in order to participate in the 21st century. So without it, we're going to be left behind. And so I think that's the cost of digital exclusion that we're facing.
Reverend Patterson closed the symposium with those three central questions.
Where are we? Where do we want to go? And how do we get there? Now, one of the questions we've already adopted an answer to, and that is, where do we want to go? Because in 2008, our then Governor Manchin, Governor Joe Manchin, said that our goal was 100% access for 100% of the citizens of the state of West Virginia. And so we are not willing to back away from that goal. We're not willing to say, okay, it's all right if we have 100% in the suburban areas, or we have 100% in urban areas, or we have 100% with one particular socioeconomic group, but we are still standing on the goal of 100% broadband access for 100% of the citizens of West Virginia. Now, I also pastor a church, and if I was a church, I would ask for an amen right there. But since I'm not, I won't.
To see the full policy recommendations, visit www.carnet.org. Reporting for WMMT with Mimi Pickering, I'm Eli Kleinsmith.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.